Chapter 191. He betrayed you.
We don't know that yet.
He left.
He isn't here to defend himself.
Llewellyn curls her arm around herself, and Dalish looks at her. Just looks. And they are sisters in this, because all Dalish are brothers and sisters, in pain and glory and sacrifice, if nothing else. The anchor flares up, a rip of energy that stings across her cheek when it lashes out, and makes Dalish's face look haunted.
We cannot talk of a man's trespasses if he is not here to refute them. Those are the rules.
He is not here, Dalish says. That is evidence enough. He left you.
I know,
Llewellyn thinks. He broke your trust, Dalish continues. He was your Haren. You made a pact. He made the pact. You were bound, and he broke it without consent. That is enough to make him guilty. And now there is this evidence in front of you. He betrays you as you defend him. Why do you defend the rabid hound that spreads the disease? Llewellyn closes her eyes and shifts through memories, because she cannot remember him as anything other than her Haren, caring for her and teaching her and guiding her and advising her and just being there. I claim him, Llewellyn says, and the anchor hurts, 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 howls. I claim him as my Haren. Dalish lets out a hiss between her teeth, and Dalish's mana is the razor tips of thorns and hoarfrost, familiar but not her Haren's, not hers, Bull's clan, Bull's Lethalon, not hers. Sisters in skins, strangers in kin. Llewellyn curls her own mana around herself, protective, shielding the hurt, the decay, the rotting and festering and bubbling. She is nothing but dark things now. Once, she was more than dark, bitter things. But it feels like now, she is only those things, and she doesn't know if she will ever be not this again. Llewellyn doesn't even know if she will continue to be this, be anything.
You claim him?
Dalish hisses to her, and Dalish's hands shake her shoulders, and Llewellyn looks up from her hurt and into Dalish, and they are sisters in pain, but they are strangers in knowing.
Yes, Llewellyn says. He's all I have left to claim as my own. Yes, no matter who he is or what he has done, I claim him. He is my Haren. I am his Dalen. I claim him as mine, my teacher, my elder, my clan, my responsibility.
Llewellyn draws on that darkness, because you do not have room to pick and choose when you are drowning in yourself.
I claim him, Llewellyn repeats. Once I was a stranger and foreigner, alien and stranded among the land of the quick. And among them there was only one who reached out with the sheltering horns and wings of stags and eagles. When I was alone, wronged, and helpless, among them there was only one who gave me the tools to help myself and right those wrongs.
Dalish closes her eyes.
When I was alone, who was with me? Llewellyn says. When I was afraid, who explained things to me? When I was hurt, raw and fresh, who was the one who kept the infection away?
That is not enough to keep you. You owe him nothing. There are others you can claim as your own. There are others who would do the same now. Dalish's hands crackle with electricity. Llewellyn's hands crackle with the fade.
I would do the same. The Iron Bull would do the same. He is not your only kin. You do not leave kin when times are hard.
He left you.
I claim him regardless, Llewellyn says, hands curling into fists. Because I am selfish, and I am tired of losing. If there is one thing, one fucking thing I am going to get to keep. It's the people I chose.
You will regret this, Dalish warns her. But the electricity dies from her hands, and there's wetness in her eyes. The Dread Wolf has taken you.
What is love if not regret? Llewellyn replies,
the fade washing over her skin, like so many knife edges.
What is dread but the anticipation of regret?
Cassandra wakes up from a nightmare with her hand outstretched for something she isn't sure. She doesn't remember who or what she was reaching for. But there are words in her head, in a voice that's already fading and slipping from her mind, that accuses her. You should have cherished more.
Who? What? Why?
Cassandra breathes, and sweat is stuck to her skin. Though, when she throws back the covers, the mountain air is quick to make it chill on her skin. Cassandra breathes. The room is quiet and still. No sounds except her breathing. And, of course, the faintest of drafts that haunts the old castle. If she were the type, she would say it's the fortress's own breathing. She isn't. She leaves such poetry for Varric and Cole and Llewellyn, and, on the odd occasion, Lilliana. Cassandra runs a hand through her hair. Sweat and that particular sort of layer of shadows that only true night can make physical. She wonders if Cullen is awake, or actually asleep for once. He has always been indulgent of her random walks around the battlements, and she is certain he would humor her in coming with her. Perhaps Sutherland is awake. He's an excitable young man, and he could use with some more training. She finds that she doesn't mind him nearly as much as she thought she would. Lilliana might be awake, but Cassandra isn't in the mood to be picked apart and read through candlelights and croaking birds. Cullen it is, then. Cassandra finds her boots in the dark and shoves her arms into a jacket that Josephine had commissioned for her, when all of their supply routes had been figured out.
You need more clothes than just armor. Regardless of what you may think, you are not impervious, and that tends to entail things such as catching colds,
Josephine had told her, gently smiling around the admonishment. Only Josephine, Cassandra thinks, pressing her nose into the fur-lined collar, before wrapping it more firmly around herself. Cassandra leaves the sword behind. There are guards posted and awake. Cassandra nods at them and makes a mental note to commend them to the commander. Soldiers who actually stay awake and alert during the night watch are something to be proud of. The main hall is strange without its usual crowd of sycophants and devotees. And Varric, she supposes. The faint light that shines through the windows make the Inquisitor's throne ominous, more so than in the daylight. Cassandra wonders if she should go through the main courtyard, or through the rotunda. Lilliana might see her, and she might wake Solas, on the one hand. On the other, the main doors are slow and loud to open, and she does not look forward to walking through the dark courtyard, regardless of the few torches and their guard patrols present. The rotunda. Cassandra eases the door to the rotunda open, skirting around the edges of the room. Slowly. She takes the time to appreciate what Solas is doing to the bare walls, in ways she won't in daylight hours. Not when the rotunda is a hive of scholars and nobles and tranquil. Not when Dorian and Solas and Lilliana and all the others are sliding in and out, and seemingly watching every move a foreigner to this area of the castle, like her, make. Solas is asleep in his chair, hands folded over his stomach. She tucks a laugh into the corner of her mouth. His neck will ache tomorrow. She wonders if he is cold, and considers leaving her jacket over him, then considers otherwise. She does not want to leave it behind and risk waking him. Risk leaving evidence of herself behind. Cassandra raises her eyes higher. She can't see any lights from Leliana's rookery, but that means little. Leliana and her scouts are more than capable of working in the dark. Cassandra opens the door, leading to Cullen's tower, and is unsurprised to see the faintest glimmer of light from underneath his door. They need to get him new doors, she thinks, if this much light is escaping from underneath them. They also need to get him a new roof, she snorts. One battle at a time. Cassandra doesn't have the patience to convince him to get a new roof, while also trying to convince Llewellyn not to throw open their doors to every sort of creature that may or may not be on two legs. Cassandra scuffs her boot before Cullen's door and wraps her knuckles on it once, barely waiting for Cullen's slightly belated enter to open it. It's colder in here than it is outside, Cassandra says, and Cullen sighs, not even looking up from the permanent installment of paperwork on his desk, waving his hand at one of the chairs someone dragged in from the main hall. Cassandra sits on it and can't help the amused smile that flickers over her mouth at the small pyramid of acorns at the corner of his desk. Someone, Llewellyn herself, or perhaps Cole, has stuck a small flower between the acorns. Cassandra probably could mention his roof here. Instead, she crosses her arms and closes her eyes. The scratch of Cullen's pen fills the room, along with the occasional sound of movement from the guards on the north and south sides of the commander's office. Cullen's breathing is steady and low, and beyond that, Cassandra hears what could be labeled as Skyhold's breath, by Llewellyn or Cole or Varric. Cullen doesn't ask her any questions or make any comments, because he's just as bad as she is and understands the need for silence. Cassandra doesn't open her eyes. Josephine ordered a dozen miniature cakes today, Cullen says, and Cassandra grunts. I'm not sure why. One for each of us, she said. There are 13 of us with the Inquisitor, Cassandra replies. I think she forgot Cole. Does Cole eat? I think the Inquisitor is working on that, Cullen replies. I'm concerned about the cakes. They're cakes. Leliana was laughing the entire time, with her eyes. I've grown to be somewhat wary of that. Cullen is a smart man. Cassandra hums. Don't eat the cake, she concludes. And risk Josephine's disappointment? Is this where you lose a battle to win a war, Commander? This is where I make a tactical sacrifice, Cullen says. Cassandra cracks an eye open to look at him. He's still working, but a corner of his mouth is turned upwards. She hopes that the Inquisition makes him happy. More than the Templars ever made him happy. If there's anyone who deserves peace, it's him. Cassandra promised him something better. Cassandra does not go back on her promises. It can't be that bad, Cassandra concludes. Oh? You have never had a death day cake from Navara, Cassandra says. When you have, then you may complain.